Oh, let's bless his name. Let's just worship him one song. Oh, yes. Oh, God is good.
Awesome God.
Tell him
how great thou art. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you.
Awesome God,
how great thou art. You are God.
Father God, we bless your name. Speak your word to each and every one of us. May none of us live the same. We pray that you enlarge us, you enlarge our coasts, you make us more and more like Jesus. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said, amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Technology, it can fail you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. This has been opening for a while. But anyway, God has a message for us.
Amen.
Let's send our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. It will start from verse 16 to 24. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. To 24. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel or anagazo them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. Hallelujah. Now, this is a very important scripture that I believe the Lord wants us to understand. Now, let's go back to verse 24. For I say, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel. Now that word compel is the word, the Greek word anagazo. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, anagazo, to compel them. Hallelujah. So what the Bible is saying is that it's likened to God who, organized the great supper. How many know that there's the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation? There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb where the bridegroom, who is the bridegroom? Jesus. And who is the bride of Christ? The church. Yeah. So that's why if you don't belong to a church, you know where to pivot yourself. Hallelujah. I thought I'll hear amens to that. Amen. So the bride is the church and the bridegroom is Jesus. Now the great supper of the Lamb, it's a very, very wild supper. And maybe another time I'll share that with you, what the great supper of the Lamb is. Hallelujah. Amen. From the book of Revelation. But you see that Jesus Christ, it's similar to Jesus Christ bidding a supper or having a supper or organizing a great feast and calling people, come to the feast. Come and eat. Come and enjoy the food at the feast. Hallelujah. Amen. And the people begin to make excuses. Hallelujah. Amen. Some will say, oh, you know what? I can't come because I have found a wife and therefore I can't come. Many people would have different reasons why they cannot come for the feast. Nevertheless, it is the feast that gives them the nourishment. Is the feast that gives them the food to eat and to be blessed. How many get what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, many Christians make excuses before the Lord. Hallelujah. In terms of excuses not to stop sin, excuses not to come to church, excuses not to do the work of God, excuses not to tell someone about God, excuses not to read your Bible, excuses not to pray. Many people make excuses. Now, what are some of the excuses people will give? I work too hard. I'm very hard. I'm working. I'm always at work. And therefore, it's going to be difficult for me to pray and read my Bible. Some people will say, oh, you know what? I'm studying. I've got exams. And I'm studying so hard that it's very difficult for me to pray or to do anything for God. I'm waiting till I sort things out, and then after that, I come to God. How many have seen themselves in what I'm talking about? Oh, you have? Okay. Now, that is a very, very serious thing, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was angry, or the one who organized the supper was very angry with the people because of the excuses they made. Now, let's start and look at some of the excuses. Now let's go back to, is it verse 17? And his servant at supper time to say, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. Now the church is like the supper. Because when you come to church, what do you eat? The word. The word of God is bread. The word of God is food. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, we don't only use the church. Even your Christian life, you can also apply it to your Christian life. You can apply it to how you relate with God or how we relate with God. Our Christian lives, how we relate with God, whether we pray or not, whether we read our Bibles, whether we are charitable, whatever we do, we can apply it to it because we can make excuses for just about everything. Hallelujah. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now, as you read it, you see that some of the excuses are valid and some of the excuses are invalid. But nevertheless, the Lord was still angry. Shall we? And they all with one excuse began to make consent. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So someone is saying that they have bought, you can keep it at the, yeah. So someone is saying, thank you, that they bought a piece of ground. So they have a business and they bought a piece of ground and they cannot come for supper. So now you ask yourself, now isn't it, why do you prove your land at night? So you can clearly see that this is a clear excuse. And you see that the Lord didn't say anything to them. Now, how many of us make excuses and feel justified about our excuses for not doing something for God, for not reading our Bibles, for not praying, for not coming to church? How many are justified? I'm not talking about legitimate. There could be some legitimate reasons. But I'm just talking about this kind of excuse. Many people give it. Some people say, I'm going to do my laundry. I do my laundry on Sunday mornings, so I cannot come to church. But usually, those people are not doing their laundry on Sunday morning. Some people say, I have to study, so I cannot come on Sunday morning. But usually, those people will be asleep at that time. Some will say, what are some of the reasons people give? I have to cook for the week, so I cannot come. But you cook in the morning, Sunday morning. Why can't you cook in the afternoon? What other excuses do people give? I have to finish my assignment. I cannot come. But why can't you? Is it? I remember when I was in Philadelphia, there's a particular lady who, a relative, who was having her finals. Now, we have summa cum laude, meaning that like the first class, some top, and then magna and then cum laude. Now, this lady was magna and in between magna and summa, very, very close, but she was always in church. And then on the Sunday after church, she asked me a question. She said, you know what, my supervisor or my lecturer lowered, I didn't do well in a particular grade, and I got a grade low enough that I couldn't hit the 4.0. So I want you to pray with me so that I get the 4.0. But the lecturer is not agreeing with some of the discussions I make, because usually you tell the lecturer that you don't agree with it and you give your reasons. Yeah. Hallelujah. And this lecturer never changes the marks. Never changes the marks. And she was maybe just 1 point to summa. And she had to study. So she asked me after we prayed, she asked me a question, do you think I should stay for choir rehearsal or go home? I said, go home and study. So she was just about to go home and she said, you know what, I'm just going to do it for God. Maybe perhaps God would touch the lecturer's heart and then add an extra grade. And I also have another exam. Maybe God will just give me favor. I'll do very well in that exam. So she stayed. I said, are you sure? Why don't you want to go? It doesn't matter. A choir rehearsal, it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what God can do. She stayed. You know that she got the summa. Wow. Yeah, she got the summa. Hallelujah. This is to say that she had a legitimate reason for going home, I feel, that because I told her to go. But nevertheless, she knew that if I trust God and I do everything I can to honor God, God will honor me. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, for example, those people who give those excuses. Pastor Elom, I did my, when I was in university, I was not a pastor. I was not even a Christian then. So I can't use my example. Pastor Elom, Reverend Mark, and who again, many of the pastors who were pastoring churches, Pastor Eric Asante doing his PhD, pastoring churches and in school were always A-plus students, but still pastoring the church. So I have to study. Usually, you are telling God, especially if it has to do with church, you are telling God that, you know, oh, I'm preaching today. Oh. Whether you like it or not, I'm firing this message good. So you see that Pastor Elom and the others, they were able to still do church, not cut any service, and yet study when they got home, and they were able to get their A and A pluses and all. Were you getting C's? No. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying, because God honors a certain sacrifice. When you sacrifice in a certain way for God, God will somehow honor you for that sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. So some of the people I know, I always tell them, study hard. Study hard. I'm always monitoring the study. Always monitoring their study. But anytime there is a sacrifice for God that can, that will not cost you so much, I always remind them that, look, do it, because you don't ever know what God can do. Yeah. So that excuse that I have found a piece of land, or I've bought a piece of land, ground, and I must go and see it. Why can't you see it in the morning, the morning after? And sleep and wake up. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. And everyone has 24 hours. We are all working. Nevertheless, some people have extra time to pray and others don't. Why is that the case? Are you getting what I'm saying? Pastor Elom works and has a full-time job. I have a full-time job, and we are pastoring the church. So it affects everyone. Even if you are not working, we will get to all that. But whatever the case, everyone has something they are doing. Nevertheless, if he has time to pray, and maybe Emmanuel, I'm sure he prays, but he does not have time to pray, why should God judge the two the same? If Emmanuel has 24 hours, which he does, and I have 24 hours, and Emmanuel has maybe a very short amount of time for himself, and I also have a short amount of time for myself, but Emmanuel takes the time to read his Bible and prays, and I don't, why should I be rewarded the same? Why should we be rewarded the same? God will reward us differently. Because I'm making the extra effort. And I could have made an excuse that I'm studying or I'm working hard, so I cannot pray. No, it's not going to be good enough. You see that Jesus said, you see some of them made some sense, but yet Jesus said, no, I don't accept it. Now Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Amen. And then verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So even in those days, people were not attending service, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Am I preaching to someone? Yeah. So you and I, we must, when it comes to God, we must make sure God is proton, first place. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it means that we should not allow anything to take the place of our prayer and our word. At least make the effort. Oh, I fell short on Monday. I was supposed to pray and read my Bible. I fell short. No problem. The key is that you are making the effort. Tuesday, I prayed. Wednesday, I fell short. God must see the effort and he'll help you. Amen. But there are some who don't make the effort at all and make excuses. Oh, I cannot do it. Now, what are some? I've married. Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's go to the next verse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. I have just bought some land, or I've just farm equipment. I have a business and I've organized it. I'm working. And I'm working so hard. And because of that, I have to go to work. I don't believe in working on... We are not under the Sabbath. But I don't believe in working on a day that we are to worship God. Unless it is for a short period. That's right. Or you have no choice because of work. And they are insisting on it. But at the same time, you are making efforts. That's right. And praying about it. There is a pharmacist who told me that, you know what, they told me to work on Sundays. And I said, you know what? Go to your manager and talk to your manager. There's a particular religion who will demand it and they'll give it to them. Go to your manager and talk to your manager. You see, everyone here who wants to work, how many are workers? Everyone should lift their hands up. Yeah. You also should lift your hands up because you work. One day, if you're not working now, you work.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The pharmacist. So I told the pharmacist that go to your manager and tell your manager that you want to go to church on Sunday and you have to go to church on Sunday. And if the manager can't fire you for that. If the manager says you come on Sunday or else, then just continue. Work, no problem, no fight. At least God saw you made the effort. If your manager says, you know what, let's think about it, we can work it out, then God is happy. But some will say, have me excused. Or you intentionally take hours on Sunday. I don't believe in that. To intentionally, willingly take hours on Sunday. Overtime is different if you have to sort, you're about to be kicked out of your apartment. And there's only a Sunday job. You do the job to sort yourself out whilst praying to God for a miracle. And then when you're sorted out, then you leave that job. That's what I'm saying. So there are times you need to do it, but God knows when you really have to do it. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yes.
There was a time in Minneapolis, the snowstorm that we experienced was one of the greatest. You see, you always have to be ready and know the word. This thing has filled me. So I have to preach by inspiration. Hallelujah. So in Minneapolis, there was a wild snowstorm, and the roads were covered, but there was a baby dedication very far away, and I went with one of the members. I was afraid as I was driving. I was scared. It was very, very, the roads were bad, but we drove to the dedication. It was packed to capacity. After the dedication, I wondered, I said to myself, will all these people come to church tomorrow? God willing. The church was empty. Not only my church, the other churches around, not even Lighthouse, were empty. Then I said to myself, when you really want something, you make a way for it. When something is important to you, you make a way. There's a YouTube video about a man who was dying. I don't know whether it was a heart problem, something. He was dying. And the doctor told, in the past, go to church, do something for God. He will never do it. Go to church, do something for God. I always have an excuse. I'm busy. I'm studying. I'm doing courses. I'm working. I'm very busy. But when he was about to die because of his heart problems, the doctor said, come to do this chant, whatever. Come to do this test. Come to do that test. Come to do this. He was always available. He made a way when it was important. So someone who is saying, I pray thee have me excused, is not going to be good enough, because there's always a reason. Am I saying something to someone? There's always a reason that people can give. But at the end of the day, God sees our reasons. Now, all those people who were afraid to go for the dedication, who didn't come to church, God will say that, okay, this person was just afraid. It's good enough. I accept that. But all those who were able to go for the dedication, I don't think there's any excuse to give. Because God in heaven, he's wise. Don't forget, he's wisdom. So if the wisdom God sees that you were able to sacrifice and drive all the way in the blizzard, and it stopped snowing, but the roads are bad, and it was snowing as I was driving, and you are not able to come to church, I mean, come on, the all-wise God, come, give him credit. Give God credit. Am I preaching to somebody? Are you understand what I'm saying? So many of us must be very careful with our excuses, especially when it comes to God. Or maybe God puts it in your heart to sow a seed in church. Maybe we've been talking about this Ben MP or Bishop's Crusades, or we are talking about giving to support. Maybe we're about to move into a new building. Give to support it. I'm just giving it. We'll be moving soon anyway.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus for that. So give to help support. Maybe buy chairs or whatever. And you know in your heart that God is putting it in your heart to give. It's different if you don't have any conviction. But the Bible says, let him give willingly, not grudgingly or of necessity. So you know in your heart that God wants you to give and you fight it and you make an excuse. Because maybe you have only $100 and you need to give 50 and you don't give it. I don't know how that will relate, but I don't want to do that. They, with one consent, began to make excuse. And it's amazing. Sometimes when two people are not going, sometimes in the past, I'll get a call. Oh, you know what? I can't make it to church. Then another person, I can't make it to church. Then I don't know how. Of course, they don't all plan it, but it's as if they, with one consent, began to make excuse. And nobody comes. So when you hear one call, two calls, know that. But don't forget, the church is not myself or Pastor Elon's. If nobody comes to the church, we are serving God. We'll just go and do outreach, do something. We are serving God. The church is not for us.
Right.
It's for Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus wants us in the church. The church is a hospital.
Amen.
Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
So the church is a hospital. And even though I'm the pastor and Pastor Lom is the pastor, we are being given medicine. Because the church is a hospital and I'm also being injected. As I preach, it's like I'm dispensing medicine and I'm giving myself the medicine and he also.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says. Look at Philippians chapter 1. And remember, we are in 14 verse 19. Luke 14, 19. Philippians chapter 1. Let's start from verse 1. We'll get to the verse I'm looking for. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is performing, he's doing a work in you and I, and he will perform it and perfect it,
amen,
in the day of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now let's go back to our verse. So let's put our hands together for the brother.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore, I cannot come. Now, if you've married a wife and there is a dinner, it saves you money from going to, it saves you a restaurant money.
That's right.
If you've married a wife, don't you want to show her off to the dinner guests?
That's right.
And the host?
That's right.
You've married a wife. Now, how many people say to themselves, there are some people, imagine those, praise dance. You do it after. You do it. Okay. She's, no. Okay. Next week, God willing. Now, let's assume she's doing, we pray that she'll be doing praise dance for a long time. And then when she's married, we expect her to continue to do a praise dance. Not that I'm a mama. So therefore, I cannot dance anymore. I'm an old woman. No. When she has children, that's why there's a lady in DFW, Vicky. She's blessed because she was dancing before she got married, dancing in marriage, and she's got children, and she's still doing the praise dance.
Wow.
Someone would have said, I'm married. I can't do it anymore. I'm mature. Oh, you're too mature for Jesus. Or I have children, so I cannot do it anymore. Many people use marriage and children to not do the work of God. Many people use marriage and children not to go to church. But marriage and children are a blessing from God. The Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord. So why should the heritage from God cause you to not do what you are supposed to do for God? What a message. Why can't we do something for God? Because don't forget that Jesus was angry with all these people. And he was trying to, even though it was a parable, it was talking about how God feels. Why is it that I have children. Therefore, but if you still have those children and you have to do a course, and you have to do a course, you do it. Yes. Why don't, you see, there is a particular lady, I have to mention her name, even though, well, I won't mention her name, because I'm just about to, this lady did very well. She's a good example for only that, but a bad example for other things. Now, this lady, when we were in Minneapolis, every Sunday and Wednesday, and Tuesday, sorry, when we had service, usually I stayed long after church on Sunday, long after church on Tuesday. Now, there were people always around. Otherwise, I'll be alone counseling. That's not acceptable. We'll have Abigail, Etta, Clara, and some of the others around. And this particular lady, married with children, would also come and sit down. The children would be asleep on the couch. Wow. Oh, yeah. The children would be asleep on the couch. And she would stay. The husband said, you know what? If once you are doing it for God, it's okay. They would sleep on the couch. And then right after, maybe 1, 2, 3 a.m., then she takes them back. God will not say she's being stupid. No, that's not what God will say. Human beings will say, what's wrong with her? But that's not what God will say. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean everyone should do that. But it means that that was what she felt she needed to do for God. Whatever you and I feel we need to do for God, we should not allow children to stop us from doing it. We should not, I thought I would hear claps. We should not allow a marriage to stop us. Some people, you see, and some spouses should be careful. Some husbands and wives must be very, very careful. Imagine a guy who is very, very on fire for God, very active for God, serving the Lord faithfully for years. And God has always seen him through. God has always looked after him and protected him. When he's tired, whatever he's doing, and God has blessed him. Now imagine such a person marries and the wife restricts him. The wife says, no, 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 no. You need to rest. You need to rest. You are doing too much. You must rest. You must rest. Now this was a guy who, if he had married her when he was not an unbeliever, she would cry daily. She would weep daily because of the other girls that would be on the scene. But God fixed him up because of his commitment to God. Now he's married to a wife, and the wife says, you must rest. You must rest. You are doing too much. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to help you. If you are going, then take the kids. I'm going to sleep. But you see, it's funny, but you'll be surprised that you can easily find yourself doing that if you're not careful. Yeah. What will God say? Will he shake your hands and say, good job? No. What will God do? How will God feel? They, with one consent, began to make excuse. Now, every single one of us, how many can find excuses we are making? Whether it's for praying, for reading our Bibles, for church, for doing something for God. How many? Wisdom, no? You can't find any? You are all set? PK, you are set? Or did you who didn't raise their hands? You are good? You don't, no excuse? Plenty. But we must fight the excuses. How many get what I'm saying? We must fight the excuses. We must fight them. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We must fight the excuses. Look at it in Amplified. Today, I'm talking about excuses that the Christians make. And they don't make it to the pastor or they don't even make it to themselves, they make it to God. So when you have time to read your Bible, or you have time to do something for God, and you don't do it, I'm not saying God is going to punish, and we are not talking about punishment, we are just talking about how God sees us, how God feels. Because what would you feel, how would you feel if it was done to you? What do you think? Your spouse, we are the bride of Christ. Your spouse doesn't have time for you. Your spouse has no time for you. Your spouse, try to talk to me.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing good.
Well, how
work? Oh, I'm busy. That's what we tell. Look, that's exactly what we are doing to God. Oh. Continue. Talk. And he's saying hello. He's trying to talk to us through the word and through the inner witness. And we can talk to him by speaking to him. And he wants us to do stuff. So telling him, oh, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to do this for me. There's someone who is in need. I want you to show them my love.
I love you. I want to spend time with you.
I'm busy. Then we forget that he exists. We block him out of our minds. You know, I've got a very important thing I must do. Yeah, why? God doesn't stop. I've got a very important thing I must do.
Let's hang out after.
I have to work. I've got overtime. I need to do it. I've got overtime. No, I have to. My children are crying. I have to go and see to them. I've got that TV show. I've got Super Bowl is come. I must needs go. But someone was, well, there's also Walmart 24 hours. So if you've got a shop, someone will say, I've got a shop, but I've got a 24 hour store. I have to study. That's what we do to God. And God is reaching. What did Jesus say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So he's knocking. And he wants us to open the door. So what I'm saying is very true. Jesus is knocking. It means that he's patiently knocking. No answer. He's knocking. All with one consent began to make excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, God is watching us. Now, in heaven, God has selected those who love him. Now, the qualification for loving God is not saying it or per se even crying during worship. Well, I love to cry during worship. I just haven't had that a few days. But I don't feel good when I don't cry in worship because it's good. It shows you are intimate with God. But that doesn't prove love. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my word.
Yeah.
Also, look at before we get to, I'll get a verse and then you can get it ready and then we'll read this verse. Now, Matthew 22:34, we are going to read. But now look at this. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. So God is begging in view of his mercies to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It's intelligent and rational because we are going to die one day.
Yeah.
And we will deal with God. That's why it's intelligent. Now, God is saying that you and I, we must make a decisive dedication of our bodies. What does it mean? It means my body and your body must be dedicated. Must be what? Dedicated to God as a sacrifice. This is, I didn't say it because I would prefer to do, I would prefer something else. I would prefer that he said it in a different way so it won't be more work for me. But I take the Bible literally.
Right.
The Bible says that you must make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. That's what I must aim to do. The Bible is literal. Take it literally. It's not a physical, this is not a figure of speech at all. This is not for some. This is for the Christian.
Yeah.
You are safer taking the Bible literally. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, everywhere to be established. Take two, three verses supporting it. Take it literally and run with it.
Amen.
But people have used the Bible to do evil by misquoting the Bible. Hallelujah. So we must be careful. Even Satan used the scriptures. Psalm 91. He used it when he was tempting Jesus. Psalm 91. But another verse was contradicting what he was trying to use the verse for.
Yeah.
He said, it is written in Psalm 91. He didn't say Psalm 91, but we would read Psalm 91. That if you fall, he will bear thee up with, he will cause his angels to bear thee up with their wings so that you not dash your foot against a stone. So Satan said, if you are the son of God, why don't you throw yourself off this high mountain? Doesn't it say in the Bible that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, that you will not dash your foot against a stone? And Jesus said, yeah, it's true, but do not tempt the Lord your God. So, hallelujah. Otherwise, you can the devil can let you run high, run wild. There are some people who every dream or prophecy guides them. Those people never do well. If you are going to let every dream and prophecy guide you outside the word, you won't do well. Nevertheless, I believe that God guides us through dreams and visions and prophecies and all those things. I believe it. But then the Bible, every prophecy that is sure is what we have in the Bible. If someone gives me a word of prophecy and it's not in line with the Bible, I won't take it. I don't care who the prophet is.
Right.
And the Bible says that, it says it in Corinthians, that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And then the Bible also says that we must judge the prophets with the word of God. Judge the prophecies with the word. Hallelujah. So you can't just come and throw some prophecies at me and I'll just take it. If it's a good prophecy, I'll pray about it and expect it to happen. I've had dreams that have come to pass, literally. But some people, once it's a dream, they don't even think about it. They don't even pray about it. And they just move with it. Forgetting that Satan also can give dreams. So make a decisive dedication of your bodies. How many are going to make a decisive dedication of their bodies to God? You and I have to do it. You and I have to say that, look, so far as God says it, it doesn't matter. Once it's in the Bible, that settles it. All I care about is that it is in the Bible. Now let's go to Matthew 22. You are talking about excuses Christians make. Nevertheless, you see some Christians who would make that sacrifice and do everything they can to do what God wants them to do. And you see another person who would have that same problem and use that as an excuse. They are justified to make that an excuse because it makes sense. But someone has made an extra effort to sacrifice. That person will be rewarded. You will be thanked that, yes, you've done well. Sit down. The other person will be rewarded. Because God is just. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 6:10. So God will reward the one who has made the sacrifice. Now, what do you think? Yeah. We are all quiet. Amen. Now, Matthew 22:34. So loving God. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, one of them, being a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And then Jesus said, what did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, ladies and gentlemen, you say you love God. I say I love God. Do we love him with all our hearts? Let's think about our God, our Savior, and our King. Do we think about him? Or we only think about him when we are in trouble? Don't shut me down. I'm preaching good here. Is he a fire service? Let's think about our God, our Savior and our King, the one who gave it up. He gave up everything. Do we think about our God? Love him with all our hearts. Do we love him with our hearts? Do we think about him? Do we will for him? Is our will all connected to his will? And then with our strength, our might, do we love him with our might? Do we love God with our might? Now, Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Or 5, but let's read Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. How many love God with all your might? If you do, then you are proving it by sacrificing for him, being tired for him. It means that on a daily basis, you are not just tired for work, you are tired because of Jesus. It means that when you are tired, you go on outreach. Oh, I'm preaching good here. When you are tired, you join the prayer meeting. When you are tired, you go and do something for somebody. That's loving with all your might. The Bible says that the love Jacob had for Rachel was like a few days. The work, Jacob served Laban for 7 years. But because of the love Jacob had for Rachel, 7 years looked like a few days. All the labor, like a few days. So it means that when you love God and you are working with the Lord for the Lord with all your might, you are serving him and loving him with all your might, it means that your strength and your energy goes into God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Do we love God with our might, our physical strength? Or do we give our physical strength to work only? Yeah, you should give your physical strength to work, but should it only be for work? What about Jesus? Which part does he get? Does he get the last? Does he get the surplus? Surplus. Does Jesus get a surplus? The students, you are studying hard. The textbook gets your might. Oh, what a message. The employer gets our might. No problem. But let Jesus get our might also. Let him get more of our might than the rest. Because we are to love him with all our might. Amen. What do you think? This is Bible. I mean, this is not sardines and candies. This is the word. Hallelujah. Let's finish up with Luke. Let's go back and finish up. With one consent began to make excuse. Let's go to 20 and let's read that again. And sent his servant at supper time to say, okay, and then verse, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Don't let your marriage or children affect you. Your wife or husband will say, you know what? I'm not going for that prayer meeting. Are you going? Indirectly, I've told the person that I'll prefer you don't go, but I can't say it. Your spouse is about to give a good offering, a noble offering to God. Come, put your hands down. We've got bills to pay. Of course, there are times that if you've got bills to pay and you're about to foreclose and the person raises their hands, make sure it's in faith. Otherwise, put the hands down. Unless you make sure it's in faith. If it's in faith, God will give you 1,000 times that amount. Hallelujah. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the hedges and highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You can also say it in that way, in a way, another way, that God has called us. Many are called, but few are chosen. He has brought us into his kingdom. He has called us to do something for him. He has called us to serve him. And when we make excuses, God will say, no problem. I'll get the people who might not be qualified. Maybe I might get the people who have not been trained to do it. Bishop said one time he had a vision of a hand. Someone was sitting in a chair. Hand took the person by the collar, removed him, and then the hand put another person in that chair. That was him. You've replaced someone. Imagine the reason you were brought to this earth. You were brought, every one of us were brought into the earth for a reason. And you make light of it, and God says, it's enough. Step aside, and I'm putting someone in to take your place. God forbid. Imagine. Elijah complained that, you know what, I'm the only one who is serving you. I'm tired, Lord, I'm tired. And Lord, God said, look, there are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee. But nevertheless, you get up, go and find your replacement. I'm going to anoint him to be prophet in your place. I'm replacing you. Your time is up. I don't want God to say that to me. And I don't think you want God to say that to you. So it means that let's take seriously what God has called us to do. Many people, God has called you to be a prayer warrior. God has called some of us to be singing. God has called some of us to be evangelizing. God has called many of us to do different things, but we don't do it. Don't let God replace you. Don't let God say, step aside. There are some of us, our voices. Come and see our sister come singing yesterday. There are some of us who have skill. There are some of us who are very good with planning. And we make light of it. We make light of the call. What if God says, thank you, you've made light of it, you don't want it. Thank you very much. Just step aside. I'm bringing someone in to take your place. I'm bringing someone in to take your place. The hope of your calling, that great calling, that will give you a great crown in heaven, that will secure you and make you great in heaven, that will give you rewards in heaven. Remember that no matter how long you live here, you will die here on earth. Even if you live to 200 years, you will die. Versus a billion years, it's like a second. And it starts all over after the next billion years. Eternity. And God will give us rewards and crowns in heaven in eternity because of the call, heeding to the call and fulfilling the call. The Bible says that David, God said, after replacing Saul or disposing of Saul or removing Saul from being king, he found a man after his own heart, the son of Jesse, David, who was a man after his own heart who fulfilled all his will. May you and I be known as to God as people who have fulfilled all God's will. But that would mean that you and I would accept the call and stop the excuses. And one concerned, they began to make excuses. May the excuses stop. May we fight the good fight of faith. May we lay hold on eternal life. May we finish our course. May we keep the faith. And he said that, you see, that's what it means. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. It means that, thank you, just step aside. Thank you, you are not going to do it any longer. I've finished with you. Now get someone more worthy to do it. Not that they are more qualified. You were more qualified. You were chosen. God chose the person. God equipped the person. God gave the person all the gifts. And then said, you were born to do this. Do it. You don't want to do it. Okay, someone who was not qualified to do it will do it plus what he's getting. So he will get your reward. That's why the Bible, Jesus said, or the Bible says in Revelation, that make sure no one takes your reward. Make sure no one takes your place. You have a place in God. You have a place in God. I have a place in God. And someone can take it. Take heed that no one take your place. You and I must guard our place with all our hearts. Guard your place. Guard your place, oh. I am trying my best to guard my place. Don't let your place go. Don't let anyone take your crown. The Bible says, take heed that someone will take your crown. Don't let anyone take your crown. And someone who can take your crown by making excuses. You can have excuses for everything. But that's not going to be justified. God said, none of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that we would all reach our goal. We would all keep the faith. We would all finish our course. We would be like Apostle Paul, who said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And now there is laid for me a crown of glory. There's a crown waiting for him because he has kept the faith. Don't let friends affect you. Don't let friends take you out of your place. Don't let all the things of this world take you out of your place. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast your place. And don't let anyone take it. And God will bless you tremendously on earth and will bless you in the afterlife. We have a short life and a long eternity. A short life. Okay, 200 years you got. Versus billion years, which is like a second. Eternity is timeless, boundless. Imagine you have great rewards, you have great crowns, you are right by Jesus, you are shining like the stars forever. Versus what we are having here. All by not making excuses. May you and I never make excuses. May you and I keep the faith. May you and I finish our course in Jesus' name. Shall we stand to our feet? At least those who, the younger ones, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Yes. And let's speak to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to help us to stop making excuses. Everybody makes excuses. I'm also praying that God help me. Whatever excuses I'm making, Lord help me to stop making those excuses. Everyone has excuses that they need to stop making. Lord, I pray, help me, David, to stop making excuses. You know the excuses you make. Pray to God to give you the grace to stop making the excuses. And hallelujah. Oh God, we pray. Deliver me from excuses. Deliver me from excuses. Oh God. Ask the Lord to deliver you from making excuses. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to love him and to worship him and to serve him and to stop excuses. Oh God, tell the Lord that you want to make your life a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Tell God that you want to make a decisive dedication of your life and body to him, that from today you pray for strength to do your best for God. In the name of Jesus. I surrender. Oh, yes, Jesus. We want Jesus. I want to give each and every one of us the opportunity Yes. I want to give each and every one of us the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you have not said the sinner's prayer, you have not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and accepted the blood sacrifice for your sins, and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to give Jesus Christ the opportunity to save me. I want him to come into my heart. If you are here like that, lift your hands up and I'll pray with you. If you want to say, Pastor, I know I'm far away from God. I know that I am far away from God. And if I die today, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven. Lift your hands up and I'll pray with you.
All to thee, my
Just before we pray, is there anyone who wants to say, Pastor, I don't know about this Jesus. I am far away from God. I know in my heart that I'm far from God. I know that I need Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want the new birth experience. Raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Very important. Come forward if you've raised your hands and let me pray with you. I want to pray with you just where you are. Is there anyone who wants to pray? Just come forward and I'll share a word of prayer with you. And you would be a child of God. Anyone else before I start praying? Okay. Let's repeat after me. Especially those whose hands were up. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe
that he died on the cross. For my sins.
I believe
that God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me
for all my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From today,
I
belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name,
amen. God bless you all. And let's put our hands together for the Lord. We may take our seats. Hallelujah.